long and healthy life.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Hi, neighbors. First, I want to remind you that Paracast is brought to you this week by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 85,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/Paracast. So, of course, on last week's episode, The Paracast with Gene and Chris, we had, I guess, the honor, really, enjoyed talking with him, of Ed Komarek, an exopolitics aficionado. Now, one of the things here that was interesting is that I kind of lit into him for the first part of the show. And most people seem to take that in stride. Other people said, shut up already, let the guy speak. Of course, here in the Paracast, we do feel sometimes that people have to be called out. And one of the reasons we called out Ed was because of the fact that he was telling us about what he found on the Internet. You can find lots of wacky things on the Internet, but because you find wacky things on the Internet doesn't necessarily mean you believe those wacky things on the Internet. You have to show a little bit of skepticism. And I was hitting him on that, and then, of course, things settled down. And I guess the other point he was raising is maybe the powers that be are keeping us from getting the evidence, what, the military-industrial complex, government, the oil industry, et cetera, et cetera. So damned if you do, damned if you don't. What's your take, Chris?
Well, you know, I agree. I think that it's really important to vet your sources when you're on the net. And I found quite a bit of very good information for my Trickster book from .edu sites, papers published by aspiring anthropologists, that sort of thing. There is a lot of good information on the Internet. I'll be the first one to admit that. But you really do have to pick and choose very carefully. And a rule of thumb that I, you know, try to adhere to is at least try to find other sources that can give you the same fact. You know, do get corroboration of a particular fact.
That's kind of the standard.
But not source back to the original source.
Of course. You don't have to. But certainly in traditional journalism, which isn't practiced enough in this day and age, they say get another source to back you up.
Well, get two, ideally.
Ideally, get two sources. You know, the original, another one, maybe another one. Basically, check and double-check everything, and then you report it. The problem is now with 24/7 cable news, they don't do that anymore. They get the story out there figuring they will correct it as they go along, but then, of course, people get the wrong impression.
It's a slippery slope. You just have to really be doubly careful, dot your I's, cross your T's, and, you know, only stick your neck out, so to speak, if you feel that you have enough corroborating information to back up a particular fact. The more controversial, the more important that is, obviously, to do.
The other thing, of course, in terms of talking with Ed Komarek is that he was mentioning the fact that he felt some of these other exopolitics adherents were not turning up their spam filters enough, particularly talking about those who claim that President Obama has gone to Mars or something, and he specifically was talking about Alfred Weber.
Right. Our Yale Law School graduate that seems to have absolutely no powers of discernment, or his level of credulity is like non-existent.
Well, that's very interesting right there, the fact that you mentioned that. We have somebody who has incredible, apparently genuine this time, I hope, educational credentials, and it doesn't help.
No. I mean, go figure. Which suggests to me that there may be an underlying agenda that has to do with dissemination of disinformation. But we won't get into that, will we, Dean?
Disinfo what?
Disinformation.
Well, I guess the thing that bothers me about that is, if there's so much disinformation out there, how do you find a kernel of fact? Or do you find the right kernel to give you those facts to be very foolish about it?
Or the right kernel to give you a chicken wing.
That one, of course, yes. Around this time of season, we have to think about the colonel and the chicken wings. Of course, they'll find a conspiracy theory about that. You know, somebody in the forums was making a big deal over what it would sound like. Listen for this now. What it would sound like if they played my conversation backwards. You know, would I say, Paul is dead backwards or something like that?
Well, we need to get, what's his name, that David Oates guy, what the heck's his name, the reverse speech guy? Boy, he'd have a field day with us, wouldn't he, Gene?
This one person, his name is Luke, by the way. Use the force, Luke! Anyway, Luke said that he was going to make a recording of me talking backwards. So he picked out the interview we did a few years ago on the PowerCast with Paula Harris, who's another one of those exopolitics people. And I met her once, by the way. I thought she was a really nice woman. But we don't agree with her. There you go. I think she's too accepting of some things. Regardless, he took one of my monologues during that interview. He took this segment where I was basically kind of summarizing the interview, saying that her process is like running a forum where you take all sorts of opinions. You don't necessarily judge those opinions. So someone took some of my key phrases and played them in reverse. I did not say, well, Paul is dead. I did not provide the solution to the UFO mystery.
What did you say? You said, Paula is an abductee. Paula is an abductee.
That's right. Instead of saying, one hen, two ducks, three squawking geese. Hey, that was it. That's what I was saying backwards. One hen, two ducks, three squawking geese, four Limerick oysters. Remember the famous Jerry Lewis announcer's test? Where it's basically...
No, that's a little bit before my time, Gene.
It's basically picking up your retentive memory. Or your attention span, or something like that. And the way it works is...
Doves and a partridge in a pear tree?
You have to repeat what he says. And so he adds one condition, one hen, two ducks, one hen, two ducks, three squawking geese, up to 10 of these. And you have to repeat each one back to him, precisely as they said it. I got up to 7 after practicing for a long, long time. Of course, Jerry Lewis is, what, 119 years old now and probably not capable of remembering anything. But I shouldn't be saying that because I'll be 120 very soon. Okay, today we're going to bring back a guest who has really been a fascinating, fascinated collector of information about strange creatures, Lauren Coleman. And I've known him for a long, long time. I know at one time he wrote a book with Jerome Clark. And this was the time I knew both of them, so that goes back quite a few years. What are your encounters and experiences with Lauren Coleman?
Well, of course, like many of our forum posters and the listeners of the Paracast, I'm a real fan of the Cryptomundo.com site that Lauren runs with Craig Wolheater. And writing a column every month for the World Explorer magazine called Crypto Corner, I have a column that I kind of cull through the month's activities in the crypto world of crypto research and investigation. Quite frankly, most of the good quality stories come from Cryptomundo, and Lauren, I think, is one of our top most visible experts in this field, and it's a real pleasure and an honor to have him on the show.
And by the way, he has a museum.
He does, up in Maine. Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you ever want to go to Maine, he's going to tell you about the museum. Mm-hmm. And I know we provide a link in the forums, so you know if you want to see what his museum is like, you can go in there and you can take a look and see just, you know, what kind of stuff he's going to. It's the International Cryptozoology Museum. Let me give you the address before we get Lauren on. It's at 11 Avon Street in Portland, Maine, and appears to be open Wednesday through Saturday and then for a brief period of time on Sunday. I guess this is his day job.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to see all sorts of fascinating exhibits, and we're going to cover that. And, of course, we're not going to have any contests here where you get a paid vacation to Maine, especially in the winter, you know, where you can bring your snowblowers out. But it sounds like a really interesting thing to do, and maybe we should have a UFO museum next.
Well, we do down in Roswell.
Of course. Well, I'm thinking not just Roswell, but, you know, a place that is not so tainted. So, neighbors, if you have a comment or a question about the PowerCast, you know where to send it, news@thepowercast.com. Once again, that's news@thepowercast.com. We promise to read each and every message, Chris and I, and we'll try to answer most of them. And by the way, if you do want to join our team, you have a background in sales, especially online sales, and broadcast experience as a salesperson is a must, do write us, news@thepowercast.com. Once again, that's news@thepowercast.com. We have Lauren Coleman coming up next on
The PowerCast.
As you know, the PowerCast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 85,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For our listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service, such as Leslie Kane's UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. For that free audiobook, go to audiblepodcast.com/Paracast. That's audiblepodcast.com/Paracast. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out, iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Hi, Jason Lewis here. Anybody who's been listening to my program knows how shaky the U.S. economy is right now. Will we have a V-shaped recovery, or will it be a W-shaped one where the nation slips back into recession? Of course, if you think that Washington can spend or inflate its way out of a downturn, you've got nothing to worry about. But as you know, I have my doubts. So let me tell you about gold. Now, as my friend Ted Anderson from Midas Resources likes to say, gold, like all commodity markets, fluctuates in price and you could lose money, but it has never been worth zero. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but has since lost 90% of its value. And if things don't change, I'm afraid the trend will continue. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237 for gold and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. UtopiaSilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now UtopiaSilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
We are now taking a virtual trip to the International Cryptozoology Museum, where sits the one, the only, Lauren Coleman. Hi, Lauren.
Good evening. How are you, Gene?
We're doing fine. Chris and I are just doing great. We kind of wish we could be over there. We can have some kind of roundtable discussion. But we don't have a rich person anymore to pay for our transportation.
Right. Yes, all of the wealthy cryptozoology sponsors died in the 60s.
So yeah.
We're all beholden to
it. Like when you really need one, right?
That's a good question, too. Where is today's variation of, say, a Lawrence Rockefeller? I'm not talking about Robert Bigelow because he puts too many terms and conditions on his grants. I mean somebody, no terms, no conditions, somebody who is willing to offer the money with a reasonable proposal and go from there.
Well, you do have the MacArthur grants, the genius grants, and what's unfortunate that there's no cryptozoologist that's won it yet, but, you know, someday something fantastic like that might happen, and then nothing but imagination could steer that person to create some great projects or go on expeditions or whatever. But there aren't too many wealthy individuals out there giving to cryptozoology right now, that's for sure.
But what would it require to earn their money? Would you still have to provide some DNA from Bigfoot or something like that?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think that if we're going to get into current events, there's the whole Erickson project that's going on right now. That's a very wealthy man that's behind that. I mean, he put out the call. He tried to get various people, some of them mainstream Bigfoot hunters, others kind of on the edge, because if you put out a call that, do you have a piece of Bigfoot? I'd like to test it. You're going to get all kinds of different fringe people and people trying to, right now on one of the websites recently, there was the quote-unquote stake of a Bigfoot being offered for sale for $50,000. So somebody says something like that, there's going to be somebody come up with a piece of meat and say that it's from Bigfoot. So it's kind of, you know, touch and go about where we're at with this whole process of the money and funding and what constitutes, obviously what constitutes the ultimate proof is DNA and samples that really are verifiable and have a chain of command where you can really detail where it came from.
I guess the big question here is, after all these years, why have we not gotten something that mainstream science can regard as a smoking gun? Why is it so elusive?
Well, there's several levels of answers to that. Let me start with the name Bigfoot. Bigfoot doesn't help. Bigfoot is a silly name, and it's been often said that there's enough evidence with all of the hair samples, the fecal material, the films, the eyewitness accounts, that if this was a murder case, you could get many convictions for murder with the evidence we have for Bigfoot. But we have the disability that has a name, it has a mythology almost now that really gets in the way. And anthropologists, which we're really up against, have the whole ghost of the fifth down skull. And anytime there's a fakery in the cabinet that's as recent as the 1950s, you're going to have a higher standard put out there for proof. So right now, the only way that Bigfoot will be proven is with a live capture or a dead body. So you have a situation where we really need a body. We need a body. We need a live capture of a Bigfoot, a Yeti, some kind of unknown hominid to really prove to anthropologists, to the skeptical debunking community, that these creatures actually exist and that we have a whole new species. Because right now you've got many situations where, like with the ivory-billed woodpecker, you know, if you go to Cornell, you definitely know that the ivory-billed woodpecker has been rediscovered. But if you go to other universities, it's still somewhat doubtful. Well, we never want to get in that situation with Bigfoot. We want to make sure that the proof is ironclad, that scientific academic folks are going to sign on with this, that it's actually going to be verified as a new species and not some, you know, kind of mutant or feral human or some other thing. So there's lots of possibilities. Now, the other part that I'm always asked is, why don't we ever find a body? Well, that's a whole other ball of wax, and I don't know if you want to go down that road.
Well, you know what? Why don't we go down that road? You raised it. This is the Paracast, where we go where no show ever goes.
Okay.
So tell us, okay, why not?
Well, once again, it's not a simple answer. It's a very complex situation. For one thing, I don't really consider it reality to even consider that Bigfoot are being drawn up into UFOs, that they're burying their dead, that they're teleporting into another dimension when they die. Let's take it from my frame of reference, which is a very zoological, biological point of view. If you have an animal out there that actually is in the woods of North America, and let's say very specifically the Pacific Northwest, and Dr. Grover Krantz estimated that there was anywhere between 2,000 and 4,000 alive at any one time. If you take a population that small, and he often would say there's probably one Bigfoot for every 10,000 black bear. Well, Grover Krantz and I used to do something whenever we would travel all over the country, and I've been to every state in the continental U.S., and I've asked wildlife individuals, biologists, hunters, hikers, how many times have you been in the forest and you have found a dead black bear, a dead grizzly, or a mountain lion in the woods, not hit on the road, not, you know, shot and killed by someone and lying on the ground, but a naturally occurring dead body of one of those large animals? The answer that I always get is zero. Even though we know there are mountain lions, even though we know there's grizzlies and that there's black bear, people do not find these animals dead in the woods. And yet we know that they're out there and they have to die. So what happens? What happens with these known animals that are dying in the woods? Well, several things. They curl up and they go to a den. They go, mountain lions have been known to, when they figure out that they're close to death, they go in leaves and, you know, try to bury themselves in the leaves. And then you have a situation where within 24 to 48 hours, crows, blue jays, coyotes, all kinds of vultures, they start ripping apart the body, and then very quickly, you know, it's decimated. There's nothing there that's left. And with the larger bones, there's an animal in North America that everybody forgets about. But I use the example in the state of Maine where I'm at. The state of Maine is the most forested state in the United States. The surface of the state is covered in 95% trees. We have 40,000 moose every year dropping their antlers all over the state. That's not even including the deer. And yet all of those tourists from the Atlantic coast that come up to Maine because we're vacation land and they go hiking, they don't trip over antlers all spring and summer. Well, where did all the antlers go? They're eaten. They're eaten by rodents. And one of the biggest, you know, consumers of antlers are porcupines.
And we'll have to answer that question more in a moment.
Sure.
With Lauren Coleman, with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This time of year, between the holidays, bad weather, and sick days, getting everyone in the same room for a meeting can be impossible. And that's why I recommend GoToMeeting by Citrix. I love the special GoToMeeting app. I want you to try it free today. Go to the App Store or Android Market to download the free app and start joining GoToMeeting sessions from anywhere. And host your own meetings with a free 30-day trial. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click Try It Free, and use the promo code PODCAST for GoToMeeting.
You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at MaineMilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com. The Maine name in military supply.
Burglars love easy targets, like a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television, so from outside it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, comes with AC adapter, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and give one or more for Christmas. Now through Christmas, get free standard shipping on any quantity fake TV purchase. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. Faketv.com, the burglar deterrent.
Discover a natural way to experience cleaner, healthier indoor air without expensive filters and high-priced machines. Discover what healthcare professionals have known for decades. Salt ionizes and purifies indoor air. That's why you need to visit SilverSkyImports.com. SilverSkyImports.com offers a wide assortment of Himalayan crystal salt lamps, handcrafted from salt crystals that are millions of years old, contain healthy ions that eliminate odor, reduce bacteria, and can even help allergy and asthma sufferers, which means you and your family will breathe better, sleep sounder, and have more energy. These salt lamps are available in stunning natural colors and shapes to accent any home or office, are environmentally friendly, and best of all, they're affordable. And don't forget SilverSkyImports.com. SilverSkyImports.com also carries gourmet and bath salts. Order today at SilverSkyImports.com or call 800-494-1369. That's 800-494-1369. Breathe easier, feel better, live healthier at SilverSkyImports.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
With Gene and Chris, we're talking to Lauren Coleman at his headquarters at the International Cryptozoology Museum in Portland, Maine. And you're saying porcupines are notorious.
I have a really good porcupine story. I was hiking up above tree line. I was at about 11,000 feet in the Sangre de Cristos, and I left my belt outside my tent to wake up in the morning and find that a porcupine had eaten my belt and left the buckle. And I could tell it was a porcupine because he was sitting there looking at me. That's a really good point, Lauren. I didn't know that they also consume bone.
Oh, yeah. They need the bone because of their quills and their bones. And they actually, they have a behavior that archaeologists have really found very endearing. They take these bones, the larger leg bones and the antlers and things, and they hoard them in their dens. So that they don't, I mean, you were lucky to actually see this porcupine there eating your belt, but oftentimes they pull them back in their dens and then they take a few days to eat away at it. So archaeologists have actually began finding fossil and prehistoric porcupine dens to find fossils of human remains in these. That really is kind of widening our knowledge of prehistoric humans.
Wow.
So that's,
yeah, nature has a way of turning all this stuff back over and, back in the dust.
Belts into bones, right?
Right.
So it's so, part of nature's rhythm, the circle of life.
Yes, it is. And I just don't think we're going to find Bigfoot in any kind of conventional way. We're not going to trip across it in the woods. My whole theory is that I think that someday there's going to be a lumber truck someplace that's going to hit a Bigfoot, and it's going to be in a situation where they'll be able to get the remains right away and get them to a university. But the whole thing about Bigfoot, they're a primate, and, they just don't, they actually try to avoid human vehicles, human people, people that are in the woods, and they're just not trying to be seen. It's just that it's really kind of a coincidence that there's a human and a Bigfoot in the same spot occasionally, and those are called sightings.
Now, therefore, we assume Bigfoot doesn't want to see who we are or what we are. They want to stay away from us.
Well, I don't think they're as curious about us as we are about them. I mean, there's a lot of people that project their own feelings on Bigfoot and say, you know, well, they're interested in us and they want to see where we're living and they want to come around to the farm and see what kind of animals we're raising and all kinds of stuff that we're really projecting on these. And most of us, like Krantz and Sanderson and other people down through the years that I've talked to, we really understand that most of these cryptids, we're really trying to project a whole life on them with only about 1% of any kind of knowledge about what they're doing. We see Bigfoot crossing the road. That doesn't mean they live there. We see Bigfoot, you know, fishing for salmon in creeks or eating blueberries or things like that. Or, you know, occasionally people make up stories that they hear a certain noise in the woods, whether it's something like a stick beating against a tree or a screech or different things like that. And they immediately go to the place, well, that's a squash. That's a Sasquatch. That's a Bigfoot. And then they construct a whole science fiction story around that one incident that may have nothing to do with the reality of these creatures. I think it's, you know, it's kind of that's been one part of it. The other part that I talk about in my book, Bigfoot, the True Story in America, is that actually, because we're in such a prudish society, most Bigfoot researchers for the last 50 years have been leaving out details about the sexuality of these creatures. Do they have a penis? Do they, you know, was the sighting, did it talk about gender-specific details that the researchers are leaving out because they're too embarrassed? And that's the whole projecting the human, you know, shyness and prudishness on these creatures based upon who we are. And that's really got in the way of some of the research.
You know, so we're anthropomorphizing our own cultural
exactly.
beliefs and overlaying them on these creatures when we really don't have the data to really support that, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very obvious when you go out and you study bonobos or gorillas or chimpanzees. People understand those are animals, and you report on their sexual activity, on their breeding, upon all of these things, and yet you read what I did a few years ago when I wrote this book is I read and read and read through all of these accounts of researchers, and it's obvious that the eyewitness had seen it long enough, and yet they'd say, put one line in there about, he says they were breasts, and then it goes on. The researcher goes on, well, were they round? Did they have hair on them? Did they have nipples? You know, there's all kinds of questions that were avoided. It was almost like reading the Warren Commission transcript. Well, why didn't you ask those questions? You know, you're trying to learn about this animal. This animal may be new to us. Ask more questions about the biological specimen. And it's just kind of frustrating sometimes because, once again, we're dealing with just humans, and humans do these projections, these anthropomorphic projections.
All right, but even if we go past trying to make Bigfoot assume a personality similar to a human being, maybe they're just a bunch of Neanderthals running about. Okay, what about those who theorize that Bigfoot and other creatures are really from other dimensions, somehow related to UFO and other paranormal events?
Well, I think that's a whole other show for somebody else. One of the things that I do at the museum, when somebody comes in and they start talking about other dimensions or UFOs or ghosts, that's all well and good. And I'm an old Freudian. You know, I have all kinds of room in my brain for lots of different possibilities and Freudian phenomena if you show me the data. But I have not been shown anything that makes my anthropological, zoological background feel like I need to talk about Bigfoot as aliens or Bigfoot from another dimension. Everything I'm seeing about them tells me this is a primate that's unknown. It may be related to Paranthropus. It may be related to Gigantopithecus. That's what I know. That's what I'll talk about. And so I was a very thoughtful follower of Ivan T. Sanderson. And he once told me, he said, you know, there's no reason to explain one unknown with another unknown. He said, I'm interested in the tangible, intangibles, the things that we certainly can measure, we can see fecal material from, but I'm not interested in talking about a Bigfoot being a ghost. And that's very much, I followed in that line. I'm just, it's a waste of my time because I'm just kind of blowing air, blowing smoke into the air, and it just disappears because it doesn't have any sense of continuity with the kind of studies that I'm doing to go off into a tangent talking about ghosts.
All right, so we assume these strange creatures are just here and we just need to figure a way to understand them better.
No, I'm telling you my bias.
Okay, no, I understand your bias, but I wanted clarify it for our listeners. So this is the basic assumption here is that, there are unusual creatures out there, but no reason to think that they're alien to us, that they're just here, and we just need to...
Right, I think that most of the cryptozoological specimens that I study are one of two kinds. They're either brand new animals that have been seen by native peoples or experienced by indigenous peoples as a natural history that comes into their consciousness and they experience as you know, real animals. And that it's our quest as cryptozoologists to try to find those new species, whether it turns out to be a coelacanth or an okapi, giant panda, mountain gorilla. And then I think there are these other animals that are being seen that are extinct animals that actually that Western science has said, well, they don't exist anymore. And cryptozoologists are saying, well, maybe they do. Maybe the thylacine is still out there.
And we have to point out we have something else that's still out there waiting to be discovered. We're talking to Lauren Coleman with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, WaterFilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
Solar power.
Solar power.
Hand crank power.
Hand crank power.
Radio power.
Radio power.
The goods you want, the good deals you need to power up your survival are at 21stCenturyGoods.com. In our solar department, you'll find solar generator kits, solar lanterns, flashlights, radios, and solar cell phone and laptop chargers. 21stCenturyGoods.com is your hand crank headquarters for everything from generators to flashlights to emergency, weather, and shortwave radios by Grundig and Kato. Big brand names and big deals. Like this. Get a free solar flashlight with every order over $75. But hurry, offer ends soon. Go to 21stCenturyGoods.com, spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. That's 21stCenturyGoods.com, or call 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
With Lauren Coleman of the International Cryptozoology Museum, with Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast. And so, as far as Lauren Coleman is concerned, we're not talking about interdimensional creatures. We're talking about creatures that are here, and maybe for whatever reason, we haven't looked in the right places. Is that part of it?
In one of the paradoxes of this is that you don't find something you don't look for. A lot of people, a lot of scientists, for instance, the largest new animal that was discovered in 2010 was a 6.5 foot long giant monitor lizard in Luzon, Philippines, that climbs trees and eats fruit. The native peoples have been saying, there's a big lizard around here, there's a big lizard around here. The scientists didn't believe them, so they didn't even start looking for it until 2003. In 2003, 2004, they finally started coming across solid evidence of this giant, over man-sized creature called, a monitor lizard. And when they finally discovered this, they said, oh, my goodness, it must have been here all the time. We just weren't looking in the right places. And that is exactly what happens over and over again. The native people say it's there. Scientists come in and they, for instance, the okapi, this giraffe-like forest giraffe that was discovered in 1901 in Africa, the Europeans came through there and talked to the pygmies and said, no, you don't have any animal like that. What you're obviously seeing is a zebra in your rainforest. And the pygmy said, no, we think we're seeing something different. Finally, in 1901, an Englishman named Sir Harry Johnston got some skulls and got some bandoliers and belts and sent them back to London and actually proved that there was a brand new animal there, the okapi, and it happens over and over again.
Is that part of the problem here is that science wants to believe in any particular era that they know everything? We have discovered all the animals. We know what's going on. We know everything that's happening out there. There are no mysteries. Therefore, there can be no creatures that we are not quite aware of.
Exactly. And that's what is now, just as oftentimes you have scientists who have degrees and go to universities. And I mean, I taught at a university for 20 years, so I know what I'm talking about because I've been around these people. They think they're on the inside and they know it all. And yet you have amateurs come along who are cryptozoologists who maybe have been out in the field for 25 years and they're covered in mosquito bites, but they say, I have this proof. And they come along and they said, no, you can't have proof because there's nothing like that exists. And so now what's intriguing is you have a whole new category of debunkers and skeptics who are amateurs also. And it's almost like the religious right. They're coming up and they're saying, no, what you're seeing here are bears in the woods or everybody's been drinking at Loch Ness. it almost because it's gone overboard into the ridiculous to really keep the status quo at a space and say everybody's making these creatures up, they're all mythical, and then all of a sudden whenever a giant monitor lizard is discovered in 2010, they act like somebody surprised them and tricked them or something.
So these creatures have always been there, but they're using tunnel vision.
Yes. The skeptical individuals and some of the academics. But what is interesting to me is when I started in this 51 years ago, Sanderson once told me he thought there was about five of us in the United States that were interested in these kinds of animals. And then it got more, into the 60s, into the 70s. And what I'm finding nowadays, I have coming into the museum all the time, different academics, different biology teachers, kindergarten teachers, law enforcement individuals, game wardens. And I said, how long have you been interested in cryptozoology? And they said, oh, it started for me when I was 25, which could have been 10 years ago or 20 years ago when I was watching In Search Of or I read your book, back in the day. And it's so amazing to me that so many people are sort of on the inside now. We have law enforcement people, we have academics, we have, people that are actually getting the frontline reports now and feeding them to some of us. And so it's really changing around, and the world is like opening up to cryptozoology. And when you start seeing, beef jerky commercials with Bigfoot in it, that the popular culture is kind of...
That's in Wisconsin.
Right. It's catching up finally, and you don't feel so alone. And so it's kind of, times are changing.
Right. Harry and the Hendersons.
Yes, exactly. All of those popular cultural items.
Of course, that's Warm and Fuzzy Bigfoot.
Yeah. Well, the Warm and Fuzzy Bigfoot, and then you have the Loch Ness Monster. I call them the big three celebrities. There's the Abominable Snowman, the Yeti, the Bigfoot, Sasquatch, and the Loch Ness Monster are really driving what most people see as cryptozoology. One of the things that I really point out at our International Cryptozoology Museum, at any one time around the world, there's probably 200 expeditions looking for all kinds of different creatures that you wouldn't even know about, like the Tazoworm, which looks like some kind of lizard in the Alps, or other creatures like Mapaguari, which is a giant ground sloth of South America, or even the reopening of our case files on the little people after Homo forensis. The hobbits were discovered in Indonesia in 2003. Then you're starting to relook at the Minahuni stories, which are the little people of Hawaii. And I don't think we've quite opened the book on re-examining leprechauns yet, but in the South Sea Islands, some of those old anthropology case files where you have reports of only 100 years ago saying that that the villagers were having fights with the little people and putting them in caves and putting burning bushes in the front of the caves so that they killed all the little people because the tribal groups were afraid of the little people. We're re-examining some of the stories because they may have a grain of truth to them.
That reminds me of a case that occurred around the turn of the century. I think it was in 1902. Was featured in some New Mexico scientific journal. I'm not sure the details escape me, but it had to do with the Picturus Pueblo being attacked by a small, diminutive, very nasty, like dwarf types, and they actually had to call in warriors from another, adjoining nearby Pueblo to help fight these creatures off. And this whole thing was stated very matter-of-factly in some sort of New Mexico Journal of Ethnology, or I forget the name of the actual publication, but I was quite surprised to see that so recently, that claims like this were taken seriously by the officials there in New Mexico. So there's another example.
But isn't it also true here that the locals will tend to know about things like this, they'll take it seriously, but those big city folk, the scientists, they come over and they don't know, so they look down upon the local people.
Exactly. The 6-foot-tall diurnal mammal that comes into your village and thinks that he or she can tell you what exists and doesn't exist. I mean, who knows? You know, people see things that other people don't, and whether they're Bigfoot or little people or giant snakes or whatever, just because they're city folks and they have a degree behind their name doesn't mean that they know everything. That's for sure.
Yes, don't tell them that, though.
Right.
Well, sometimes it causes tunnel vision. You assume you know everything, therefore, when something happens that's anomalous, you are too prepared to dismiss it.
Right. I think, luckily, in the fifth grade, I believe it was, I lived in Illinois, and we would go to a day camp every day during the summer, and one of the chores was to name all of the birds in the wooden area that we were visiting. I excelled at that. I identified all the birds, and I knew all the birds, and it was a little bit before the fifth grade, and I came home, and I started reading other books, and I was shocked to find out there were all of these other birds all over the world that I didn't know the names of, because I thought I had identified every bird in the world because I'd named every bird in Spittler Woods in Illinois. And it was kind of very revealing, and it shook me up for a while, but it was a good lesson to have very early.
So the key is here is don't assume you know everything, because something is going to happen that's going to surprise you.
Well, shake your world up, unless you have a narcissistic personality, and nothing will ever shake you up because you still think that you're the center of the universe, which does occasionally happen.
Makes it real difficult. By the way, the place is called the International Cryptozoological Museum, and the proprietor-in-chief is Lauren Coleman. You're talking with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.